Good morning, everyone. In my talk today, I wish to confront a concept which is not high on the list of spiritual subjects. How can I possibly connect garbage with your soul? Ever supposing you have one. Your hunger for meaning, your love of beauty, and your responsible search for truth. Let us start at the beginning. In the beginning, the world spun itself together out of leftover junk from the genesis of the closest star. It coalesced, captured another piece of junk, which we now call our moon, which, strangely enough, we've left garbage on. And it revolved around the sun more times than we can ever know for sure. The hot vents in the bottom of the sea pushed interesting compounds together, and some of them started replicating, and the replications got more and more interesting. And as far as we can figure, that's how life got going on our blue-green jewel of a planet. Or maybe God did it. The jury's still out. Evolution, well, for some people, let's just feel sorry for them, okay? Evolution, a natural process whereby energy and materials are recycled, conserved, and recycled again as organisms push their way towards reproductive success and new food sources. Sounds like teenagers, doesn't it? Gave rise to animals called hominids, some of whom became generalists. One of them picked up a glowing ember from a volcanic eruption in East Africa and lit the first chalice. Actually, she didn't, but you have to admit it's a compelling image. She did spend a lot of time burning her fingers before she figured out how to carry fire from one place to another, because there was a distinct advantage to not being scared of fire when every four-footed predator out there was scared witless of the stuff. Now, as soon as we figured out fire, not only did the predators quit eating so many of our babies, the available calorie density went up by 4 times. That's right, 4 times. Once you can cook food, you can extract 4 times as much calories from it, from your immediate environment, as you could before you could cook, because cooking neutralizes poisons in and releases nutrients from a wide variety of foods. Now, you don't have to be a genius to see that the population of our ancestors would explode with a drop in the infant death rate and a huge rise in our food availability. The taming of fire was, in my opinion, the greatest technological advance of all time. I know that our chalice symbolizes the flame of love, commitment, beauty, and self-knowledge, but I see it as the essence of technology, the forge upon which all the things that distinguish us from animals have been made. Consider that with the invention of fire, we started to make garbage. You were wondering when I'd get back to garbage. Essentially, before fire, we didn't make garbage because we were animals, and animals just make things that can be easily recycled and reclaimed. Garbage, along with laughing, crying, and the command of fire, is one of the things that characterize us as human. If all the human beings on the planet disappeared overnight, there'd be a couple of places that could be unlivable for other organisms for a while because of the toxic waste release or nuclear meltdowns, but eventually there'd be no sign of us, and other species would crowd in where we used to be. Within a few tens of thousands of years, there'd be no sign of us on the surface of the planet at all, although there would be lots for alien archaeologists to dig up if they ever happened to cruise by. If you take the long view, you know that all the garbage we visited upon the planet will one day be gone, but likely not before we're all gone too. The healing and regenerative power of this planet is not well understood, but I do know that if we quit making the mess, Gaia would methodically clean it up. We're too busy flapping our arms and wailing about the bad stuff to understand things in geological terms. In the blink of an eon, it will all be gone. In the short term, though, and that's what really counts to most of us, we're still here and responsible for what I see as 3 major kinds of garbage. The first is the landfill that we create when we open boxes and eat the contents and then toss out the boxes. Landfill. The, oh my gosh, I forgot to take the trash out garbage. The second is the garbage that we have in our own minds. I call it mind fill. And the garbage that we have in our relationship with time and community, I call time fill. Mind fill is the polar opposite of mindful. It's when you don't allow the light of reason and the heat of conscience to guide you because you're too busy playing or whining or watching TV or shopping or drinking to excess or worrying, gossiping, denying, and blaming. Time fill is the garbage we make in our social relationships. Now, if you go through life not making garbage in your relationships, you will have more time and better relationships since you don't have to waste time cleaning up the garbage you make by being a jerk. Nor are you always running away to new relationships because you can't stand living in and with the debris of the old ones. It can get to be a full-time job, dodging all that garbage, and the worst part is you can get so used to dodging it that there's no longer any impetus to clean it up. The first kind of garbage is objective. Landfill is something that you can easily visualize. There's lots of it. And you can weigh it, and you can measure it. My household produces one regulation-sized garbage can full every week, except at Christmas, which you'll have to admit is a special situation. And we're essentially five adults. We compost, we recycle, we buy in bulk, etc. But despite all this, according to a website I visited to prepare this homily, my ecological footprint is only two-thirds of the American average, and we'd need 6.5 Earths to sustain every human being at my rate of consumption. I felt very unhappy when I heard that. Here I am, looking like an ordinary Canadian woman on my way into middle age, when I'm really a menace to creation, gluttonously slogging through resources like the Tasmanian devil. I went from feeling kind of okay to feeling like a monster. After taking the footprint test, I decided to clean out my fridge and quit wasting so much food. There are further adjustments I can make as I clean out the mind fill and work on the mindful. I have to adjust and better regulate how I spend my time. My sad thought now is that buying all my clothes secondhand isn't that big a deal as long as I'm still eating meat and commuting by car. It was a real poke in the eye. I knew it was bad, and I didn't want to get the message, and I guess I still don't. The implications for me are that I must continue to alter my behavior and keep nudging it towards sustainability. And most of the time, I must acknowledge my complicity as a garbage generator without getting so overwhelmed by the idea that I don't actually do anything about it. As most of us know, once you start to grasp how bad things are, there's a tremendous urge to take a nap or go out for dinner. Just to get your mind off this bad thing that's suddenly moved into your mind with you. But you're right back with the garbage again because you're filling your mind and your time with activities that don't push towards progress. It requires a conscious effort to understand how what you think turns into actions that are injurious to the planet. And that is very difficult. I think every responsible person in this room struggles with that, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the efforts that you do make, even if they are invisible to the larger community. We fire-taming, laughing, crying primates are our own worst enemies. The curiosity and love of novelty that got us inventing good things also means that we have the attention span of houseflies about the important and bad stuff. Mind fill is junk thinking. It's the garbage nobody sees. There are any number of ways to tackle mind fill. Benjamin Franklin invented a little chart that he carried around in his pocket to mark his weekly progress towards de-junking his own mind. It reminded him to practice virtues. If you go to a decent bookstore, you will find racks of books about changing how you think. One assumes for the better. But I'm not always so sure. I'm very cynical, and I see a lot of authors thinking about their bank accounts while I struggle with the basics of taming my own mind. But aren't we all struggling with that issue? I would suggest that one of the reasons that you're here is because you actually care about the way you think and hold out hopes that you can improve the way you think and what you spend your time thinking about. Mindfill, like landfill, can only be tamed by constant daily effort. The way you make less garbage is to buy fewer things. This is what you have to look forward to if you take that path. You eat somewhat less and somewhat less interesting food. You make your own food, or you are fortunate enough to have in your household somebody who keeps the food coming. You travel and shop judiciously, doubling up errands and buying large amounts of common items together with a group of like-minded souls. You stop smoking cigarettes because cigarettes make mountains of horrid garbage all across the planet. You quit wearing makeup and dyeing your hair and dry cleaning your clothes. You sell your car and you have a garage sale and recycle everything you can whenever you move or help clean up somebody's estate. In short, every aspect of your daily life shifts. And if you're the only person consciously thinking about garbage among all the people you know, you can feel like a social deviant and really feel the heat of opinions of others, because nobody likes a killjoy. Garbage isn't just garbage. It's broken human dreams. A landfill in North America contains food, lots of food. If we are really to feel the call of the inherent worth and dignity of every person, we must, as individuals and as a culture, quit throwing out so much food. Without food, how can you have justice, equity, and compassion in our tired old world? Would you hate the person who had food when you didn't? The involvement of this church and the Social Justice Committee with the food bank is a sign that many of us wish to close that gap between hunger and plenty and stand closer to our principles in the process. So far, I haven't told you a story, so I will tell you a little story about garbage. There is, close to Mexico City, a garbage dump a mile wide and 8 miles long. Some 2,000 people live there. They are dominated most cruelly by a number of garbage mafia clan bosses, and they are spiritually served by one 70-year-old Jesuit priest named Roberto Guevara, who holds mass with a recycled cross once a week in the middle of that stinking mass of garbage. When he first started out on his mission, Father Guevara was full of fire and eagerness. His mission was to get the parents to stop beating their kids, the clan bosses to arrange better payment for their workers, because the garbage people have to work 12 hours a day, rooting through debris for items that can be resold, and education and access to health care to some of the most marginalized people on earth. The clan bosses, sensing that this guy was a self-righteous, uptight troublemaker, who was going to demand a more equitable distribution of money, told him to get off their property. The priest had to accommodate them in order to serve his parish. And he did. He's had almost 25 years of practice doing it, and instead of getting agitated about the evil of the clan bosses, he's concentrated his efforts on helping the children get educated and the adults get treatment for their frequent injuries. Does he think the clan bosses are nice guys? No. Does he deal with the situation and do what good he can? Yes. When you think about garbage, think about Father Guevara. For him, garbage is not a construct, something many miles away. It's where he sets up his altar on Sunday. Think about him and do what you can about garbage in your mind, in your life, in your interactions with others, and don't get sidetracked by not being perfect at it. Father Guevara realized he was going to compromise his principles to get any real work done, and he got over it, and so should we all. Perfectionism is the enemy of action. The last kind of garbage that I wanted to talk about today is time fill. Time fill occupies daily life in much the same way as garbage does. The garbage only sits around for a week before the city hauls it away. Time fill only occupies your life for the moment. You'll get issued a new day tomorrow, and you can make completely different decisions then. Time fill is time spent not planning or improving your body, mind, and spirit, and the relationships that you have with the people closest to you. If you're like the poor garbage pickers of Mexico City, you get 30 minutes a week to sing in church. The rest of the time you're working or sleeping or eating because your time is filled 12 hours a day, every day, with forced labor for the clan bosses. It seems as if whether somebody is wasting your time in your life for you or whether you're doing it to and for yourself, time fill is a killer of human potential and human good. I don't have any advice about what to do about those things. All I have is observations from my own life. Trying to be a better person is an overwhelming task at times, and there are no shortcuts and there are no pat answers, especially for Unitarians. I find associating with productive people makes me more productive. I'm still a primate, and I imitate the people I'm around. I find I do better when I spend time with people who like me and want me to do better. Meditation works as well. It is easier for me to find my place in the world when I do. Our living tradition urges us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. Being conscious of one's breath is a simple step towards that kind of mindfulness. Today after church, rain or shine, I'm going to walk in a park close to my home with a plastic bag in my hand, and I'm going to pick up garbage and get it out of the park. It's not much, but it's something. I'm not going to worry about whether it's good enough or fret I should be doing more. Like Father Guevara, I'm going to set aside worrying about the things I can't change and work on what I'm called to do and what I can do, because anything else, frankly, would just be garbage.